The Bible is filled with stories about soldiers. And in particular, in the New Testament, we see various accounts of soldiers who recognize who Jesus is. We have the centurion who sends for Jesus to heal his servant, of whom Jesus says, "I tell you that not even in Israel I have found such faith." Then there's the centurion at the cross who remarks, "Surely he was the Son of God." And our reading from Acts, we hear about Cornelius, again a centurion, a devout, God-fearing man who was remarked, prayed often and gave generously to the poor. As that centurion with the servants for whom Jesus remarked he had such great faith, it was said that he was a man in a position of authority and had others under him as well, whom he was in authority over. He was aware of something about the nature of service and sacrifice. The selfless acts of serving as a soldier, quite literally putting nation and others before oneself, perhaps makes it easier for soldiers to grasp what it is to live for something bigger than themselves. And from there is a move from not just something bigger to live for than oneself, but to someone to live for. A life in service of God. And I think that step isn't quite such a big step to make. And we're certainly seeing evidence of this now in the British Armed Forces. Often in conversations around camp, soldiers are telling me how they or their friends are turning to God. When I was in Purbright at the training regiment, the services were full, and we saw many soldiers choosing to turn to Christ and many choosing to get baptized. In fact, we had over 50 in just 1 year choosing to get baptized. Our gospel account from St. Matthew's Gospel tells us of the baptism of Christ, of which Jesus insisted that it be done by John. When John protests, Jesus says to him, "It is proper to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Even though Jesus was without sin, he chooses to wait in line with sinners and to be baptized in order to identify with us. And that symbol of death and resurrection in baptism would later be instituted by him for real. It is no surprise that Jesus inaugurates his ministry by being baptized, as it also often marks that start of our own journey as Christians. And here at Jesus' baptism, we see that divine confirmation, the Trinity present, Jesus raising from the water, the Spirit descending like a dove, and the voice of the Father in heaven saying, "This is my Son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." It was after his baptism that Jesus then goes into the wilderness and is tempted. Baptism is a profound thing. In Paul's letter to Titus, he writes, "He saved us not because of any works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit." Seen in the light of this verse, baptism is more than just a symbol of sanctification, but it's also a vessel for God's power to change our lives through his grace. The early father of the church, St. Augustine, in recounting his own baptism, encapsulates this as he writes in his book Confessions, "We were baptized, and all anxiety over the past melted away from us." In baptism, we affirm, through that symbol of death and resurrection, that we in Christ Jesus have died to sin and have been brought into eternal life. And the final instruction that Jesus gives to his church in Matthew's Gospel were the words of the Great Commission, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded of you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." We are called to share the good news of Jesus with others, called to make disciples, and importantly, to baptize those disciples. So back to our reading from Acts. As Peter is sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ with Cornelius, we are told that the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. We are told that the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gifts of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. This is significant. Here we see both Jew and Gentile being welcomed to join this new covenant. The old covenant was established between God and Abraham, with circumcision being the sign of the covenant. It symbolized inclusion into the covenant with God and was a reminder of God's divine and eternal promises, the physical act symbolizing the spiritual truth. And here, as Peter sees what is happening before his eyes, he says to the centurion and to those with him, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water." And so baptism was for Cornelius the physical sign of a spiritual truth, the symbol of death and resurrection fulfilled by Christ's redemptive work of grace. It was for Cornelius and is for us the symbol of the new covenant we have with God, one which is open to all, whether Jew or Gentile. It marks our inclusion into the community of faith and marks the beginning of a new life in Christ Jesus. Amen.